Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Lauren L. here. Thank you so much for tuning into my broadcast that will be broadcasting all this week on Radio Free Joshua Tree Online. You can also go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, to listen at any time. I have this embedded on the website right on the front page. Thank you again for tuning in. And right now it is February 23rd, 2015. 8 p.m. I'm going to kick off the show today by going over a piece of Morongo Basin history. This is coming from a book that was published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society and the 29 Palms Historical Society. This piece of information is coming from the year 1915. The title of the article is Yucca Valley's 1915 Emergency School. Here's what it says. By September 1915, the Slichter and McKinney families had moved and the Morongo School did not have the minimum 5 students. The county changed the school year from 8 to 10 months and hired a teacher for $600 a year. She brought her 2 young brothers to build enrollment. The first 5 months would be in the emergency school in Yucca Valley and the second 5 months would be in Morongo Valley. Named Yucca by homesteader Dr. Albert Ellis, the emergency school was funded by a county program to establish schools in isolated desert areas. It paid for only the teacher and supplies, not a school building, so the John Carricker family offered a room in their home near the present Yucca Valley High School site. Christine Snelling taught 15 students, her 2 brothers, plus children of the Carricker, Dutton, Evans, Hurd, Pierce, Robertson, and other homesteader families. From September 1915 through January 1916. Pictures from that period show children playing in snow. The 1915 to 1916 county report listed 30 students for the 2 schools, with none listed at the Yucca School. It was closed about 1924. The Carricker House burned down. That's unfortunate. That must have been really difficult to get students in school, especially back in those days. Very interesting to think about. I'm going to share with you events, but before I get to events, I just want to quickly say that Lauren L. of the High Desert is now sponsored by CrossFit of Yucca Valley. I'm going to have the owners of CrossFit talk on the show in the near future to explain more about what CrossFit is, but CrossFit is a fitness and workout location in Yucca Valley. They're all over the place. There's CrossFits all over in the Coachella Valley, all over Southern California. Anywhere you go, there's probably a CrossFit. When I previously lived in San Jacinto near Hemet in California, there was a CrossFit there that I actually participated in for a couple months, and it was just such a great experience. And I love to promote fitness. I was asked recently when I told someone that CrossFit's promoting Lauren L. of the High Desert or is sponsoring it, and he said, what does that have to do with your broadcast? And I said, I know that I cover a lot of environmental news and local news in the Morongo Basin, but I cover a lot of national park information, as I will be bringing up on the show later today. And I'm very supportive of fitness, going outdoors, being active, and to be active, a person should be fit. And so that's what CrossFit is for. It really keeps you engaged. It's a team atmosphere environment. And, I can go on about it. So I'm just really happy to have them on board and to promote them and to share them with the community. And there are some events coming up from CrossFit on my calendar that I will be sharing. So I'm very excited to announce that. On top of that, I will say if you're interested in supporting Lauren L. of the High Desert financially, if you would like to sponsor the broadcast and have your name thrown out there, then I welcome you to contact me, laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com, and I'm very excited to hear about you and what you have to offer to the community. Moving on to events. There's always so many events coming up. It's amazing, especially now as the season is getting a bit warmer, but comfortable. There's a lot of events happening. So here we go. Let me pull it up really quick. Okay, so I got an email from Leslie of the Mojave Desert Land Trust, and she is working on a climate change study. I will share with you what she sent me. She said there will be a meeting on Wednesday, February 25th from 8 to 2 p.m. at the Mojave Desert Land Trust office. They have a new location in Joshua Tree. If you would like that location address, then please contact me. You can go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com. She said, I have been lucky enough to have James Heinz, who is putting up climate change transect lines on several conservation agency lands, assist myself and a small group of volunteers in this process. He will be going over the transect data sheets with us, and we will be collecting data. The data we will be collecting is identifying certain key species that need to be studied as the climate begins to warm. For example, Joshua Tree, yucca, and the creosote. She's also doing a climate change study in relation to the schools in the area, to a particular school that I don't know right offhand what the name of the school is, but she will be participating in a few activities on campus to an elementary school. And so she said that she is interested in having volunteers assist her. If you're interested, then please, again, go to my website, send me a message, and I will connect you with Leslie. Or you can contact the Mojave Desert Land Trust directly and obtain the information. And the events that she will be doing at the elementary school are going to be at the beginning of March. So get in contact with them soon so that they know you want to be involved. On February 26th, the tickets for Bequinox will be going on sale. This is LA Region's Burning Man, and it will take place right here in Joshua Tree at the Dry Lake. I personally have never been to this event before, but I know that it's very supported in the area. It's a lot of fun. And so maybe some of you are going to Burning Man in August, and maybe you want to meet up with burners ahead of time here in Joshua Tree. People are going to be coming all over the region to go to this. It should be a lot of fun. Again, tickets are going on sale February 26th. If you would like a link to the ticket sales, then go to my Facebook page, search for Lauren L. of the High Desert, and you will be able to find the link directly there. Bequinox will be taking place March 19th through the 22nd, 2015. Tickets are $100. I'm assuming they're going to sell out, but we'll see what happens. On February 27th and 28th, starting at 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Harrison House Music Arts and Ecology is pleased to present a performance by Proboski, a musical duo between guitarist Jayan Riley and violinist Timba Harris, taking place at the Harrison House in Joshua Tree. A little bit about Proboski and what they're all about. Proboski explores the sonic landscape from the purely acoustic to less familiar electroacoustic textures, dancing between delicacy and aggression, an interplay between composition and improvisation. Their debut album, Time to Feed, is steeped with shape-shifting energy. Having performed throughout Europe, South America, and the U.S., Proboski is the next evolution of these two musicians' year-long musical partnership. Again, this will be at the Harrison House in Joshua Tree. It's $15, and I'm very supportive of the Harrison House. They put on a lot of fantastic events in the community, and the Harrison House in itself is a fascinating structure. It is a straw bale home. If you're interested in learning about an alternative structure, then the Harrison House is definitely a good place to go, and you can inquire about the architecture and what the history was in terms of developing that location. On February 28th from 12 to 1 p.m., there will be an event at CrossFit in Yucca Valley called Zone Nutrition Seminar. The topic is information about the Zone diet and how to integrate it with fitness workouts to achieve optimal results. This is free, and it's open to everyone who's interested. There will be a Q&A session. Again, this will be at CrossFit in Yucca Valley. If you'd like to know more information, then please go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com. And remember, all of this information that I'm sharing with you is available on my website. on my calendar. So check it out if you need, if you have any questions or you want to know more about a particular event. And that's all I have to report for now. There's a lot of events coming up that obviously I'm not going to spend my whole show going over. But if you go to my website, you can look into the future and see what is happening. I encourage you to look at events further on into the year, because a number of these events are festivals and you will have to buy your ticket weeks in advance before they sell out. So check it out and see if there's anything that you want to go to. And support the community. It's a lot of fun. Take your friends, family. I really try to highlight unique events happening in the area. Just to share with you some recent events I've been to. I did attend a letter writing event at Rose and Buster's on Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. This was hosted by a number of local environmental groups, and it was actually really nice. There was pizza provided as well as wine, because that's what Rose and Buster's is all about, wine tasting. And so while we were learning about writing letters to local representatives, we were munching on pizza and drinking wine. It was, these letters were directed to the San Bernardino County Supervisor Ramos and another participant, which was Chris Beal, DRECP, Acting Executive Director. DRECP stands for Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan. This is a really important plan that's in current development that will be really a critical determinant of renewable energy development in the desert region here in California in the future. So this is something very important to keep on top of, to make sure that solar development occurs strategically, responsibly, and is considerate towards species and communities and other issues relating to the desert. So again, this event comprised of approximately 30 people who came together, who are interested in participating in the development of the DRECP. And there were a number of speakers who shared information about renewable energy development, about the DRECP. And then we got into the letter writing, which is interesting because personally for me, I haven't done, or I haven't written a letter to a local representative before. There were a number of people there who have experience in it. So this is actually really cool because it's an educational event about how to share your thoughts with local representatives, which is really important because they need to hear from people in order to know what to support. So I'll just quickly tell you what the format was of the letter for those of you who care to know. And if you would like to write a letter, because you can write it yourself, then here's what the format was. You start off by obviously pointing out who you're writing the letter to, which is San Bernardino County Supervisor James Ramos, as well as Chris Beal, connected to the DRECP. Then you provide a quick introduction about yourself. Then you select 5 to 10 talking points provided and anything else that you would like to touch on, which when we were there, there was a lot of information provided, talking points relating to wildlife conservation, renewable energy development, local communities. And so this is obviously important because it's the chunk of the letter, which is why do you have the stance that you have? If you want solar to be developed in a certain way, why is that? So they actually provided talking points that we were able to reference to support whatever our stance was, each person writing a letter. After you hit on the talking point, you provide a reference in the letter. This is actually a specific request from the people who hosted the event, which is they wanted the writers to reference to specific locations to protect. So provide a reference in the letter to protect the following with durable conservation designation. Specific terminology there. And they provided a list with specific names of various locations throughout the Morongo Basin and the Mojave Desert, critical for wildlife corridors, and ultimately play a role in species life. And then finally, you print your name, title, address, and phone number legibly at the end of the letter. I'm going to read what Seth Steer sent out afterwards. He was the primary planner for this event. And so this is a letter coming from Seth Steer. He said, "Thanks again so much for attending the recent DRECP Wine and Pizza Party at Rose Investors Wine Bar in Yucca Valley. It was a pleasure to meet new friends and to see longtime desert advocates over beverages and food. I remarked to David today that we've never gotten such good letters from one of our events. Yours were beautiful, authentic, original, and highly effective. All of us appreciate your willingness to pen these, as we know that writing can be a laborious and even painful process. I wanted to highlight the role that Defenders of Wildlife played for the event, as I didn't get a chance to mention their important contributions to desert protection. Defenders of Wildlife was extremely generous in donating funds to help pay for the event, and I think it's appropriate to mention as well that they have done outstanding work in protecting a wide variety of desert species, from bighorn to desert tortoise. A big thank you also to the Wildlands Conservancy and Mojave Desert Land Trust, two organizations that are incredibly effective and that have fought long and hard to protect desert ecosystems and our communities. We feel lucky to have partners like these, especially when the road becomes winding and rocky. Once again, I really appreciate having the opportunity to share wine and pizza and to help shape renewable energy policy with all of you." I really enjoyed this. I hope they do this again. I hope they do more involved events like this where people can actually get a feel of doing something active, like writing or maybe speaking, networking, things like that in terms of renewable energy development, because this is really critical. I attended the Black Rock Lecture Series on Friday, February 20th, 2015. The topic was renewable energy co-development. And so there was a panel of three speakers. I've been to a number of these Black Rock Lecture Series now, and there are always three speakers. It's a panel. So this panel was pretty special because it included James Ramos, who is the supervisor of San Bernardino County. He is one of the supervisors, and he represents this region in particular here in the Morongo Basin. So he was actually on the panel there. Also, David Lamprum, who is a part of National Parks Conservation Association, and Fraser Henney of the Mojave Desert Land Trust. David Lamprum provided a more poetic perspective of why it's important to care about renewable energy development and why the desert is significant, while Fraser Henney of the Mojave Desert Land Trust gave more specific details about renewable energy development in the desert, such as acreage allocation for renewable energy, how much renewable energy is expected to be developed in the next 10 to 20 years, where this type of development will occur. He did mention that 100% of wind energy development is expected to occur in the desert, which I thought was interesting. And he also gave information about how much solar energy is projected to be developed in the desert. It's not 100%, obviously, but the vast majority of solar energy is expected to be developed in the desert. And so that's really interesting, again, when we start taking a look at other options of rooftop solar. James Ramos, he gave information about his particular involvement with renewable energy development in San Bernardino, which is interesting to hear about, because he did point out that when renewable energy development in the desert initiated however many years ago, that there were no policies in place about who can develop renewable energy where. which to me, this is one of the most fascinating topics, to be honest. And I would really love to have someone on the show to talk about the history of renewable energy development, because it just makes perfect sense that renewable energy development, you know, it went off like a spark. Companies started popping up wanting to develop renewable energy, specifically solar. So the first thing to do is to go out to the desert, start buying up property and develop. And there's no policies in place. So the communities and the national parks and related groups have no say in the matter. So again, James Ramos pointed out that he was a key player in standing up and putting forth that there needs to be policies and procedures for solar development in San Bernardino for the communities, for the well-being of wildlife, and ultimately to just keep solar companies in check in terms of what they're doing and developing. So it was really interesting to hear from James Ramos and to have him participate in the panel, which is really great. This event was free to the community. It's always free. It's held at the Bell Center at Copper Mountain College in Joshua Tree. And there will be another one next month. So I encourage all of you to look into the Black Rock Lectures and to come out and meet people. There are groups that host support the lecture series, such as the Mojave Desert Land Trust and other groups that are very critical. Here's an interesting article that I came across as of recent. The title of it is Let's Get Every Kid in a Park. It was published by whitehouse.gov on February 19th, 2015. I'll be reading the part of the article to you. President Obama is committed to giving every kid the chance to explore America's great outdoors and unique history. That's why today he launched the Every Kid in a Park initiative, which calls on each of our agencies to help children to visit and enjoy the outdoors and inspire a new generation of Americans to experience their country's unrivaled public lands and waters. Starting in September, every fourth grader in the nation will receive an Every Kid in a Park pass that's good for free admission to all America's federal lands and waters for theme for them and their families for a full year. Because we know that a big reason many kids don't visit these places is that they can't get there easily, we will also help schools and families arrange field trips and visits by providing key trip planning tools and help to cover transportation costs for schools with the greatest financial needs. For example, the National Park Foundation, the congressionally chartered foundation of the National Park Service, is expanding its program to award transportation grants for kids to visit parks, lands, and waters. The president has also requested new funding in his FY 2016 budget to support youth education programs and to support transportation for school outings to parks for students from low-income areas. And because one of the greatest classrooms, we are making sure that more kids can benefit from the wide range of educational programs and tools that already exist. For example, a number of our agencies participate in Hands on the Land, a national network connecting students, teachers, families, and volunteers with public lands and waterways. And the National Park Service is launching a revised education portal featuring more than 1,000 materials developed for K-12 teachers, including science labs, lesson plans, and field trip guides. With this kind of support, we can help our children become lifelong learners, both inside and outside the classroom. I was very excited to hear that. I obviously am supportive of kids going to national parks. I don't know what all of your experiences are growing up, but I definitely remember going to school in Desert Hot Springs and going on field trips to various noted environmental locations in the Coachella Valley. I specifically remember coming up to Joshua Tree, and I forget what grade it was. I was definitely in elementary school. But we got on the bus, and the bus broke down right when we got to the top of the pass up in Morongo, and it was hilarious. And we had to stop at a park, and we hung out at the park right off the highway close to a trailer park out there for pretty much the whole day. And then finally a replacement bus showed up and we continued on up to Joshua Tree. Finally got to the park. We got out of the bus, had maybe 5 to 10 minutes to walk around with a ranger to learn about the plants, and then got on the bus, went back down to the school. That's one of my memories. I also recall, just to let you know, recall going to the Salton Sea. That was by far one of the funnest experiences I've ever had. I was in elementary school. We went all the way out to the Salton Basin, and I remember everything, the dead fish, the smell. It was just a fascinating trip. I remember the path that we walked on. So I mean, I know we can read these articles, and people who have kids probably understand more. But, you know, I remember my personal experiences going out. So I hope the kids have a great time with this and that they really use the ticket that they have obtained. And quickly, I want to read an article that I found from Z1077. This article was published on February 23rd, 2015. It says, BLM reports as illegal holiday off-roading overran our desert. And here's what the article says. A report from the Bureau of Land Management said some 30,000 off-road vehicles descended on the Mojave Desert over Thanksgiving weekend, and many went where they were not supposed to go. Surprise, surprise. In his report, Ranger Patrick Chassie of BLM's Barstow Field Office said that a number of riders were cited for trespass into the Claghorn Lakes Wilderness near 29 Palms and the nearby Post Homestead site. Chassie reported illegal riders were seen in wilderness and high desert wildlife management areas, as well as giant rock area inlanders, where off-roading is not allowed. The report said that some of the illegal off-roading may be riders looking for new places to go since they've been barred from portions of Johnson Valley, where the 29 Palms Marine Corps base is expanding. The BLM report says Wonder Valley and Sunfair Dry Lake in Joshua Tree were visited by 150 and 300 off-roaders, respectively. A copy of the BLM Ranger's report is included in this story. So I'll be posting the report on my website. And this is by far the most controversial topic I have come across ever since I started my broadcast, which is off-roading. I am not an off-roader or really a part of the off-roading community, so I never knew what really off-roading entails. But I posted something in a Facebook group about off-roading, and the off-roading community is very vocal, very wanting more areas that are designated to off-roading. And it has been noted that there's practically nowhere for off-roaders to ride legally out here in the Morongo Basin, that the primary location is in Johnson Valley to ride. So as time goes on and I learn more about off-roading, I'll have more to say on this topic. I'm pretty sure many of you know a lot about off-roading and the problems out here. I do recall a few months ago that there was a meeting in Wonder Valley specifically to discuss the topic of off-roading on private property, which I didn't make it to, unfortunately. But this is an interesting topic to keep up with. So, thank you so much for tuning into the show. That's all I have to report for today. If there's anything you would like me to talk about, any recommendations you have, if you'd like me to add an event to my calendar, please let me know. Go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com and you can write me directly on my website there and I will respond back to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. All of you have a great week and I will talk to you soon.